Today's gospel, this beautiful scene of the Transfiguration, is packed with so much that I'm going to try not to talk about hardly any of it, because otherwise we would be here into the 9:45 Mass. And much as I love to be at the celebration of the Eucharist, overlapping them is not good. I'm going to take a moment to shamelessly promote something that I am doing. And there's a point to it, and it does relate to the gospel. A few weeks ago, I had an interview via Skype with a priest in Chickasha, Oklahoma, that thriving metropolis of Chickasha, Oklahoma. Anybody know where it is? Yeah, I didn't either. I work in other parts of my life with an institute of the Dominican friars in the West that has me traveling around doing presentations and teaching and preaching. The conversation had to do with that. We were talking about his exploring his own gift of preaching in a new way, which was to do a daily homily on the gospel of the day on Twitter. I can see nobody knows what Twitter is. Who knows what Twitter is? Who's ever heard the name? Okay. For those of you who don't know what it is another form of instant communication. You may post messages via this service, but the message can be no longer than 140 characters, not 140 words, 140 characters. Every letter, every space between words, every bit of punctuation is a character. So those of you who don't like long homilies, you might want to learn about Twitter. There are some of you in here this morning who have said to me, keep it short, Mark, keep it short. If you want to keep it short, you can find a 140-character homily every day. You can find several, actually, on Twitter. But nothing's free. You have to learn a new technology. If you want what you want, you have to learn something new all the time. I took up this priest's challenge, and a week or two ago, I started a 140-character homily every Sunday on Twitter. It's hard. It's really hard, but it's fun. And Friday night, with some friends at a prayer service in our home for Lent, one of my friends, who's a wonderful writer, said, you should do that every day. So now I'm doing it every day. And here is today's 140-character homily that you can look up. The Twitter address is @DeaconMarkAZ. Even if you put that into your search engine, @DeaconMarkAZ, it will take you to the Twitter page, and you can read it. So you don't have to really learn Twitter. Today, Transfiguration. Follow Jesus up the mountain. Witness his. Follow more closely. Experience your own. Come back down. It must be shared. That's it. Wouldn't it be nice if every Mass we did this? Several years ago, my eldest brother took me to, he lived in the Washington, D.C. area, and we are ethnically Slovenians. If you know what that is, you're probably one of us. And in the basement of the Basilica in Washington, D.C., are all these side chapels, and there is a Slovenian chapel at which a Slovenian priest would come and celebrate Mass every Sunday, and the chapel was filled to overflowing because he was famous for homilies of 1 minute or less. Now, the guy who started all this in my head is Father Shane Tharp in Chickasha, Oklahoma. Here's what he has to say for today. 140 characters or less. 140 characters or fewer for the English teachers in the crowd. If you trust Jesus enough to accompany him, then he will reveal the mystery of himself to you. That's what it's about. Trusting enough to follow far enough so that we can see the truth of who Jesus is, to stay with that truth long enough so that we begin to understand the truth of who we are invited to become, which is the living body of Christ in and for the world today. That's it. That's the core message of the transfiguration scene as I read it in Matthew's gospel. There are a couple of hints here about the trouble that we have in following that example. Who goes up with him? Who does he choose? Peter, James, and John. John's the only one who stays with him all the way through the journey. Peter denies him. James gets into an argument about whether he should sit at the right hand of Jesus or should his brother. There are all these things that sort of prefigure who we are going to be as a body of believers trying to follow this Jesus. Sometimes we will deny him. Other times we will fight with each other as to who gets to chair the committee, or who gets to be honored in this way or that way, or who gets to run things. We do that all, and it's all right here in this tiny little story. But the core is that we are invited to follow Jesus up the mountain. It is a climb. Lent is a climb for us. It requires us to move. When we get to the right place, we can be confident that Jesus will reveal his true identity to us, and in doing that, reveal to us our own true identity. That way, we come to experience our own transformation in whatever brief glimpses we get as we go through our mundane lives. And then Peter, James, and John want to build tents. They want to stay there. There's another version of this story, I think it's Luke's, where Jesus simply says, get down the mountain. Get on back down there. You have work to do. You have seen what is coming. I'm going down to do the rest of the work. Why don't you come with me? So we have this other temptation that we as church people have, which is to stay in the church. It's beautiful. We are nourished here. But our nourishment here is not for us alone. We are led back down the mountain, out those doors, to take the communion we will receive in just a few moments and carry that communion by the example of our lives to feed the world as we are fed here. So, for this week, follow Jesus up the mountain, witness his transfiguration, follow more closely, experience your own, then get down the mountain. It must be shared.